Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:03 on ESPN 97.5. Actually, 9:04. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Kyle has been waiting. He wants to talk about Longhorn Keith. Hey, Kyle. Kyle, are you there?
Kyle, what's up?
I'm here.
Yeah. Go ahead. Talk on the radio.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, so I just kind of want to address two things. First, it's kind of towards the previous caller. We got to be careful with some of our dialogue and rhetoric we make. The commenter basically said, if you don't play better, then you don't have a right to talk about, social injustice or something that you feel is wrong. That's absolutely ridiculous. And it kind of leads me into my second point of that's the quickest way and one way for UT to relegate themselves to permanent mediocrity. If we don't necessarily change with the time and or understand how these 18, 19-year-old kids are feeling or approach things and just wave it off as, oh, they're being too sensitive, okay, that's an approach. And that's the same approach that's going to have UT being a 9-5, 8-5, whatever record every year versus being what they could be. And I will say the last part of that. We got to somewhat be careful. I mean, we're looking at, two non African-American personnel telling young African-American kids, hey, get over your sensitivity. And I just say, if we don't watch that, I think that's going to be a quick way to UT to be what they are now. Hmm. That's all I ask.
Well, so to...
They are what they are now because...
They have been that for a while.
I don't know if it has anything to do with social injustice. And social injustice in the eyes of Texas, I think that's a reach.
Well, no, but Texas has actually made, they've actually done pretty much everything that was on the list that the players asked. They've actually done a lot, and I don't know if Kyle knows that or not, but they've done pretty much everything on the list. The one thing they stood for was, hey, we're going to keep our school song. We're not changing the school song, but they've included a statue that was the first African-American athlete. They changed the name of the stadium. I mean, they've made a lot of changes at Texas, and they have listened. So I don't really think that's accurate. I think that Texas has made a lot of changes. You don't have to give in on everything either. That there's such a thing as saying we need to make changes, but everything that one group of people says we want all this done, sometimes you're not going to have all of that done. And I think it's wrong to say, well, then you're not in favor of the students or you're not helping these athletes or whatever. I think that's inaccurate. You have to look at the whole thing. What you said about what Longhorn Keith said, I thought, you do have to separate the two, because Keith did say, I'm more worried about, their actions on the field or whatever. I don't think he was saying it's an if-then statement. If you don't win, then you don't get to say anything. That's not what he was saying, because Longhorn Keith also called the show when everything was going down, and he even said, I'm in favor of the moves that they've made. He also just wants him to play. That was Longhorn Keith, the fan, being pissed off about two things: not doing eyes of Texas, and also he's also pissed off that they got beat by Oklahoma. That's what that was.
Yeah, and to be fair to the University of Texas, Longhorn Keith's views in a moment of frustration do not represent what Texas has done or will do.
No.
So as much as he might feel that way, like you just laid out some of the things Texas has done, I just don't think the song means as much to the players as it does to the people who listen.
Probably never has. And it's not just that. It's, like the national anthem. Some people say it doesn't mean as much to me. For other people, it means a lot. School songs at Ohio State, at Texas A&M, it's probably the same way. And not just with black athletes, just with different people, it will mean more than for other people.
Well, and I've always said, why do we play the national anthem before games? And if we don't, it doesn't change the game.
No.
It doesn't change anything. So you know what? If in this day and age You don't play the national anthem before a game? Oh, well, it's actually just an add-on. It serves absolutely no purpose.
It was, we all know, well, not maybe not everyone, but it was played at one point during World War II to bring up patriotism, get people behind the country because the country was going through something major, you know, a world war. But it's, times have changed, and I'm not sure why it's still a thing.
Yeah. And secondly, if the players don't sing the Eyes of Texas anymore, oh, well, the players don't sing. You know what, fans, you can still sing the Eyes of Texas. They haven't taken that away from you.
But all I'm saying is I do think there is going to be a problem with some of the people at Texas for Tom Herman, for the program in general, potentially for the money. There are people who are really upset about this.
But this isn't a Tom Herman thing. This is a University of Texas decision.
I agree, but it's going to be viewed as
the players do it.
The players, yeah. It's going to be viewed as Tom Herman, and it's going to be viewed as this one is one that people are not going to back off of.
I understand.
I'm just telling you, this one is going to be potentially sticky. John and I were talking about this. Tom Herman's in a no-win situation because if you don't look like you're backing the players, you're done. If you don't look like you're willing to stand up for the people who pay your salary, you're done. I don't know how he gets this one is, and then if you add on that you're not winning those games, it's really going to be tough for him.
The school has said it's not necessary anymore, and you pointed out the volleyball team didn't do it. So can Tom Herman go against a school not maybe a mandate, but a suggestion or whatever the rule is to say, hey, you can't force the players to stay? What is Tom Herman supposed to do about that when the school itself has said it is not mandatory for them to stick around for it? Because you're going to see it in other sports. Volleyball is not something that people watch all the time. So it probably hasn't struck that same chord that football would. But the basketball players, when that season comes back, they don't have to do it. The baseball team, when they start playing, they won't have to do it. It's a Texas thing now. It ain't a football thing. It ain't a Tom Herman thing.
Mm-hmm. The picture that I see, it was just Sam Ellinger out there.
And some staff members, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And Tom Herman. Let's get Chuck in here. He wants to talk about the Eyes of Texas. What do you say, Chuck?
What's up, guys?
What do you say?
I just wanted to say, man, hey, this is a teaching moment for even those kids. Because the bottom line is, to get, like Lance said, they've got a lot of what they wanted. You're getting provided a really good education at the University of Texas. You could leave if you don't like it there. But the bottom line is, somebody else might. And I understand nobody wants to do the old fight songs and all that. But it's just a sign of respect. And they're, you know, those locker rooms they got, they didn't come from just the state of Texas. They came from boosters. And you got to understand, that's what you're getting from the boosters. And, hey, just make somebody else happy, too, because they've bent it to you. That's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
All right. Jeff Ketchum wrote a big article about it in Orange Bloods. I'm going through. Somebody said this is a really good article about it. After Vince scored the touchdown, his buddy Sean had tears in his eyes when the Eyes of Texas was being played. You know, it's right. I mean, people have. Everybody's got a different opinion. But I think you're right, though. These kids don't. They don't care.
No, some do. Some do. I think
Sam
some
Ellinger
do.
Does, so but he's right now he's the only one.
But right now it's not the cool thing. Like it's almost like. It's almost like even if you do, you don't want to be ostracized from the locker room if the core guys don't like it. Like, there's also some locker room politics that could be going on also.
Well, if the starting quarterback is doing it,
I don't know that he's the leader of the locker room.
No. Well, that might speak to some other issues if the starting quarterback isn't. I think, unlike Ellinger, who we all know wanted to be at Texas since he was a kid, we know. Thank you, broadcast, for telling us again. There are other players who would have been like, well, if I felt better about A&M, I don't want there. Or if I felt better about LSU, I don't want there. I think the margins are thin as far as where players would have gone when they recruited. Sam Ellinger was always going, so the Eyes of Texas is going to mean more. But you're telling me one of their four-star defensive backs, if he felt better about the DB coach at LSU, if he had a scholarship there, he wouldn't have went there. So why would the Eyes of Texas mean more to him than whatever LSU's fight song is? I think we're there, where I could have gone anywhere, and I chose here because of whatever, and it wasn't because of the Eyes of Texas. I probably didn't even – I don't even know the words to it. Do they teach the Eyes of Texas to the athletes? Is that where they learn it? Like, is there some type of class where the athletes learn the words?
No, there is for A&M, the fish camp. You're supposed to go in and learn all the traditions. I mean, A&M has a ton of traditions for the student. See, there is also a student thing where, like, if you're a big part of the student community and you're an athlete, and that happens too, you may get into all the traditions. A lot of the traditions are student driven. And A&M has more than anybody I've ever seen. Now, if you went to A&M, like Chives, our listener Chives, he's about the least Aggie person I've ever seen. And yet he's a big Aggie. I don't know if he loved all the traditions. I don't know if he did all the traditions.
Did he grab his nuts a lot?
But you mean inside the tradition or just in general?
I don't know.
Yes, that's the kind of swag he has.
Yeah.
In general, because you're humping it, because it's called humping it, John.
Yeah, no.
Was he humping it? I don't know if he was humping it. I might be wrong.
Did he kiss his date?
I don't feel like Chives likes anyone to tell him what to do, and so he'll kiss a
Did
date
he
whenever
kiss
he wants
his
to.
Date?
I don't
if
know.
He
maybe
doesn't, then. What?
Maybe.
Then
maybe
why
not.
Even go to a game?
So we score a touchdown, which means I got to make out with this girl.
Yeah.
When we score touchdowns.
So when you go to Aggie games, like you don't.
That's okay.
Do you give fist bumps to Chad? Like, do y'all hug after Aggie scores?
After
when someone was there, did y'all like? What did y'all do with each other? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And I'm not judging because you're a cis male questioning.
I don't like the word male.
I don't know. I can't.
What would you? You don't want to. You're not
cisgender.
Well, that's the same.
They, them.
Same thing.
So
you identify as the gender people.
I identify as I'm going to make out.
They.
When the Aggies score, I make out. That's
with anyone?
Whoever's there.
Whoever's standing there. He told you he's a true Ag.
That's it. That's what I'm going to do.
Today he's representing Missouri State.
What's their sign? Is this it? No.
No, that's
Texas or Missouri State?
I forgot.
Yeah, horns down,
ooh,
sir.
Horns down. Ooh.
It's disrespectful what you did, ooh, though.
What are you more of, a Longhorn or a Sooner?
Oh, Longhorn.
You're more Longhorn than Sooner?
Well, I don't know. I got friends. Oh, Sooner friends, too.
You got Wallace Marsh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. That's a tough one.
What's your call?
I really don't have many Longhorn friends, do I? Chris Solis.
They're insufferable, aren't they?
Who? Yeah.
Your
Longhorn fans.
Yeah, they're insufferable. Aren't they, John?
It's hard to like those people.
It is, isn't it?
It's hard to like those people.
915 ESPN 97.5. It's easy. It's easier when you have a few Blackland Distillery.
Everything's easier when you have some Blackland Distillery. When you've got the Blackland Bourbon, when you got the Blackland Rye. I was using the rye to make some cocktails this weekend, and it's fantastic rye, cream de cassis. What else was in that? I have to look. I think there was a sweet vermouth. I've got this apothecary cocktail book, and so I've got gin, vodka, bourbon, and rye, all from Blackland Distiller, and I've been looking at making cocktails from cocktail book. Every single one of their spirits, there's so much care and time and execution with the processes that they use and the extra distilling that they do to get the flavors that they have. They're all very smooth, but they all have distinct finishes and distinct flavors that make them award-winning spirits, and that's rare to see for a company that's been out as short as they have been, but it really speaks to the quality of the bourbon, the vodka, the floral notes with the gin, and of course, it's a delicious rye that is not too forward in terms of from a cocktail. It's not too overpowering. So make sure you check out Blackland Distillery. Put it in your rotation of drinks and of spirits. You can find them at a lot of different liquor stores. If they're not there, demand that they start carrying the grain-to-glass distillery that's right here in Texas, Blackland Distillery.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's a pretty good article, and this is a lot like I, you know, was thinking about with the eyes of Texas. Maybe it had an origin in a minstrel But how long ago was that? And it certainly has lost any blackface or any kind of meaning there. Jeff Ketchum says, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volkswagen, Hitler's dream car all have ties to Nazi Germany. Hugo Boss literally designed shirts for the Nazis. Old Disney movies historically filled with racist imagery and stereotypes. USA Today's parent company was linked to the slave trade. Aetna and New York Life insured the lives of slaves, reimbursed slave owners when their slaves died. Henry Ford was a leading anti-Semite. Adidas, Nike, Gap, Outfitters.
All those companies like, shut up, Jeff Ketchum.
Products in sweatshops and with child labor. You know what?
That's true. The Nike, what happened with Nike? I don't see anyone canceling Nike.
Yeah, no. Well, the clothes are too good. Sorry.
I see a lot of guys driving Mercedes-Benz, you know, and they have hit Nazi links.
Well, the thing is, those are all real. And
but they've changed.
Also, how many people are doing the research to know that stuff?
Jeff Ketchum.
Clearly, that is one. But as when we're talking about the 18 to 22-year-old athletes who were brought to, I'm sure a lot of kids didn't know about the Eyes of Texas and his roots until it was brought to their attention. I'm not sure you're going to stop wearing Nikes or not drive a Mercedes if they were told that information. But a lot of people are ignorant of things.
That's true, but they do have those origins. And now that you know about it, are you canceling them?
Well, you'd have to ask the people.
Right.
But if you don't care about we all know about sweatshops and child labor. No one. If you're past that, you should be past the Volkswagen. Because people do change, and that's to act like, you know what? I know how 50 Cent got started. I don't see 50 Cent canceled. I mean, he was not a good guy. Not a good guy. But then he's on The View, and they're celebrating his birthday and stuff. People are different. People change. Times change and things like that. And you have to know, to me, this one is, I just know from the outside looking in, this is one that's not going to change. So,
you know, they play the song. It's just a song.
It still gets played. If you don't want to stand for it, it doesn't mean that those players can't go out there and play as hard as they can. And by the way, would it be a big issue if they're winning all these games? If they were undefeated?
Probably not.
It would be under the radar. I can tell you, Jeff Ketchum would not have written an article.
I think it's pretty. The song gets played, and what the university has done has stopped making it mandatory, because it was always a compulsory thing. It was never, hey, if you guys want to do it or not, that's fine.
Yeah,
it was always
true.
Hey, you stay here, you sing, you put your horns up, and you sing a song.
Put your horns up,
and they've removed that option. And apparently, players are like, I don't really want to ever sing this song. Bye.
I think you're going to see some guys go out and do that now. I think you will see players go out and do for the next game with Sam Ehlinger, because it's although I have heard that he and the team are not
that close
on the same page. I got a text message about that, but I do think you'll see some players now that it's come out who say, I want to go out there and do it. Maybe they wanted to, but they were pissed off because they lost to Oklahoma and they just wanted to go in. You know, Tom Brady did something that he wasn't called out for that I think it wasn't the Super Bowl. I get it, but usually the quarterbacks, this is what it is. The head coaches meet, the quarterbacks meet, and kickers meet. For whatever reason, those are the three groups. Kickers always get together after a game. Quarterbacks do, and head coaches. And it's the head coaches, you understand that one. They're both the leaders of the team. I think the kickers and the quarterbacks are because they're all they're in a special clique, and they kind of understand how tough their jobs can be and they do feel like they're their own separate group. Tom Brady, after the loss to they had a video of Nick Foles like wandering the field looking around to shake Tom Brady's hand. And Tom Brady, as soon as they lost, he's like, bye, and just ran in the locker room.
Tired of losing to Nick Foles.
Yeah, and that's breaking protocol. I mean, I kind of feel like Tom Brady needs to go out there. I get that you're pissed off.
You want to cancel Tom Brady?
Yeah.
No.
It's time that we cancel Tom Brady.
Tom Brady sets the tone. Now you know what's going to happen? Nobody goes up to midfield and sees quarterbacks anymore.
I thought the rule was you can't even do that, or is it just swapping jerseys? Does the NFL have something in place?
Can't swap jerseys.
I'm pretty sure after Pat Mahomes was making out with, who was it?
He almost kissed Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore,
your cornerback,
and Stephon Gilmore, it's COVID. Then what?
Maybe Tom Brady just didn't want the possibility of getting COVID from Nick Foles.
Maybe
hang out with you.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think that seems like the smart way to go about it. I can't believe I'm agreeing with that jerk Tom Brady. But, hey, we're not going to meet up after the game. I don't know where you've been.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I said it. That's what I said.
Great guy.
Whatever. You might have COVID. I'm not going to hang out with you.
I don't know how. Man, I get it. There are a bunch of people on here. No, you don't swing at the first pitch. Dude, he got good wood on it. It was a – if he, I get it. He threw 8 straight balls. It was right down the middle. It was what he was looking for. He hit it well. Right. That's all you can ask for. I mean, to me, look at George Springer. Well, he shouldn't have swung at that pitch. Man, he roped it. It just happened to be right at a guy. Bregman got good wood on it, and it was a pitch. Listen, he might not have seen another pitch in that at bat that he could handle. I don't know. I like being aggressive.
I don't treat every situation. If you think a guy is on the ropes because he can't throw strikes, yeah, you got to sit.
Throw it down the middle, fastball down the middle.
But it has to be perfect. And I don't mind taking, if I'm George Springer, I don't mind taking a 3-0 fastball down the middle when Anderson's on the ropes and can't throw a strike. However, and then he had ball four. Actually, it was ball four and he walked. But by the same token, you know what? You got to start getting some runs. You're hitting the ball hard. You've only got 3 runs in 18 innings, and you've had 19 hits. You have got to start getting some doubles, home runs, and the best way to do that is to look for a pitch, get your pitch, and drive the ball.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Did you tweet get some runs yesterday?
Did what?
Did you tweet out get some runs yesterday?
Yes, and they hit a home run.
Okay. Did you do it in the ninth?
When did you do it?
I did it when Kyle Tucker hit to the center field, and then the very next one was Carlos Correa. Yeah, I did. I did it the last inning, and they got a run, too. It was just a double play.
Get more runs? Did you say that?
I said get more runs.
Huh.
Oh, no, and get more runs, I didn't get runs. Then I said get 4 runs, they only got 1. Well, they had a chance to get 4 runs. Every time I tweet, I'm 4 of 5 when I tweet it, they score.
You said get 4 runs. You know what?
I forgot yesterday. I forgot to say it. I looked at Twitter and like, what are you doing? So I said, get some runs, exclamation points. And then literally they go to the warning track. And then
Tucker flew out.
Carlos blasted. Yeah, I thought Tucker's was gone.
How many at-bats did they have with guys? Oh, my gosh.
Is it 26?
Okay, would you take 5?
They stranded 26, right?
Not yesterday.
No total.
In the two games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If that's a number, okay, I don't know.
Is that's an insane number.
No, it's stupid. It's stupid. Scored 3 and stranded 26. I have to look that up, make sure we're right. But what if I said they'll put up a 5 spot today? You take it right now?
No.
No?
As long as you don't hit anywhere near third base or in right field where they're willing to jump over fences.
No, the Astros will score 5 today.
I know.
You can't take that?
No, I can't.
Oh, I'm taking it.
I'd go under.
You what?
I'd go under. This may just be the
no. Would you take 5 runs right now?
Oh yeah, if you gave them to me,
yes.
Why would I not take 5 runs?
Because
that's more than the league average. Yes.
Because it's Yarbrough. Well, I mean,
yes, I would take.
I think they're going to score more. I think they're going to explode today.
I would take 5 runs.
I think they're going to explode.
Is Urquidy going to be better than last time?
Yes. Yes, the ball is going to be down.
Better be.
The ball is going to be down.
It better be.
He's had plenty of rest.
It travels in that park, too, by the way.
Huh?
One thing we found out is, wait, tonight's game's in the evening, right?
Tonight's game's at night,
okay.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have as many fly balls that travel.
No.
I think that's advantage Astros. Based on the amount of hits that we've seen between the two teams, yeah, the Astros are hitting the ball harder than the Rays
are. They are.
The Rays are trying to win with home runs and they're dodging bullets just like Neo, and then their bullpen is hanging on. That's how they've won so far.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a 3-run home run. Other than a solo homer, that's all they got. They can't get any other runs any other way right now. They're not stringing together a bunch of hits.
713-780-3776-929 here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Astros? Or whatever you want to talk about. Come on in.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I just bet him. I just bet Urquidy on mybookie.ag promo code radio. It's legal. You play, you win, they pay. I guess it's legal. I don't know how they do it, but anyway.
Odds to win a World Series, 1,000. Plus 1,000. Astros beat the Braves.
That means it's 10 to 1.
Astros beat the Braves, 15 to 1.
Astros beat the Braves, 15 to 1?
Exact World Series. Dodgers beat the Rays is plus 260, the favorite. I'm sorry, Rays beat the Dodgers. Dodgers beat the Rays is plus 230. Braves beat the Rays is plus 250. Braves beat the Rays is, or Rays beat the Braves is plus 280.
Let's go. I just bet Urquidy. Bet Urquidy today.
Astros beat the Dodgers. If you want to cheer for what I believe would be the greatest thing to happen since the invention of the DVR, Astros beating the Braves is plus 1,200. 100 to win, 1,200.
Astros beating the Braves. Wow. That would be beating the Dodgers would be the most fun one to bet.
Whoa, Braves beat the Astros plus 1,700.
Wow.
And Dodgers beating the Astros is plus 1,500.
So Astros beating the Braves is the favorite. If the Astros get there, they're favorite.
Astros beating the Braves is plus 1,500. Astros beating the Dodgers is plus 1,200. Why would that be lower?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be harder to do? I guess it's because they don't think the Braves are going to get to the...
Well, no, they do think the Braves,
the Braves are the favorite
to get there.
Right now, the Rays are the favorite to win the World Series.
Yeah, they should be because they're up 2-0.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All things equal, it's the Dodgers, right?
That has moved, obviously.
It's the Dodgers and then the Rays and then the Braves and then the Astros. If we're sitting at 2-2 for every series... Wouldn't it be Rays 1, Dodgers 2, Braves 3, Astros 4?
Astros 4. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What about, let's play some Dusty on being down 0-2. I love Dusty. There's times that you're not crazy about Dusty during the year, but I love how open he is, how frank. I think that these guys like playing for Dusty. You see all the guys that'll tweet about, man, that's my man Dusty, my guy. That was my favorite guy he ever played for. Who was it that said Dusty was the favorite guy he ever played for? Because Dusty's a player's, he's a player's coach, and it's showing up here. It's showing up here. Let's hear Dusty on being down 0-2.
I'm not going to really have a message other than, hey, boys, we got to keep swinging it. You know, I mean, and that's all you can do. I mean, you know, talk is cheap. I mean, you know, like I said, we just got to find some holes. You know, and I remember in 78, I think it was, we went up 2-0 on the Yankees, and they beat us 4 in a row. And the way this series is going, you know, the home team has won, you know, the last, you know, the first two games of the series. And so... If history repeats itself, then we're the home team the next three games.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, they are the home team the next three games. Which song will get more people singing it? Since they're the home team, they're going to get to play the deep in the heart of Texas, even when it's not their ballpark. Will more people be singing that song in an empty stadium than the amount of Texas players who sang The Eyes of Texas on Saturday?
I'm picking on Texas.
Yeah.
No, it's a question.
No, you're picking on Texas.
I'm asking you two
you
a question.
You are picking on Texas.
What are the numbers Tuesday?
Those poor people. Do you know what they've been through this weekend?
Yeah, I saw it. But
you know what?
The question.
Why don't you to go for
him?
Two?
Why don't you? Hey, Jordan Jefferson. Why don't you just kick him when he's down?
Jordan Jefferson. Because of what he did last year?
You know, three, 4 years ago when he kicked the Marine in the head.
Oh, Jordan, not Justin. Okay.
Yeah, Jordan Jefferson.
I thought you meant Jordan Jefferson when he caught that touchdown on 3rd and 7 to beat Texas. Or 3rd and 7.
I thought you meant
Texas.
George Jefferson.
Justin.
Justin. No, but it's a legitimate question. Will there be more people singing
not
deep
a legitimate
in the heart of Texas
question
in an empty stadium than the number of Texas players who
I don't
sing?
Feel like this is a legitimate question,
it is.
John.
Will like more Astros sing deep in the heart of Texas than Texas players sing the eyes of Texas?
Well, yes. I mean, once they get back in the stadium, everybody's going to be singing deep in the heart of
Texas.
No,
the stadium's empty. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, no. Then the answer is no, because Sam Ehlinger was out there singing in the eyes of Texas.
Well, more Astros sing deep in the heart of Texas than Texas players sing
no.
eyes of Texas.
No, the Astros players don't give a rat's ass about deep in the heart of Texas.
So they're just like Texas players.
Kind of like that, yeah. Okay. But no, that's not an Astro thing that you have to...
It's not mandatory?
No.
So Altuve doesn't have to...
No.
Hey, if you don't
Altuve
play...
Altuve doesn't even know what the hell that is.
Altuve, if you're not going to play better, then... I don't want to hear you not want to sing the song, okay?
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen Texans players go out when you're going to stand for our fight song, okay? Are you ready to rock as a pig on that rail? Are you ready to lay? And all those all the Texans have to stand out for the H. The Houston, the Toro horns, which are different than the Longhorns, they have to stand up there doing this. Are you ready to play? Here we come, the mix thing up. And they have to stand out there the whole time, Clay Walker. And you played the whole song, Dell. We had never heard the whole song before. It's like 7 minutes long. It's the longest song ever. How come people aren't mad that the Texans aren't out there standing for their fight song?
Well, that's because Deshaun would rather be singing this song.
Steelers of the South, we are the Steelers of the South, but we are the Texans. Look at us go. Run the ball, first down, run the ball, first down, pass the ball, first down. Look at us win those division titles. Hang a banner, Steelers of the South. Houston Texans, Steelers of the South. First, that's a Texans, first.
If they played that song, all the players would be out there singing.
I do feel like they're more Steelers of the South now than after they were 0-4. Like, I feel like after this win, they're more Steelers of the Southie than after they got beat by the Steelers. Yeah, because they beat Jacksonville. Tennessee, we don't even know if they'll be able to field a team anymore because of COVID.
They better.
And then so far, the Bears have lost. I mean, the Colts have lost to the Jaguars and then who was their game this week?
The
lost
Browns.
To? No, yeah, Cleveland Browns. I mean, are we buying the Browns? By the way,
I guess we have to.
They're pretty good right now.
What's their record right now?
4-1, just like the Ravens.
Now they beat the Colts. They beat the Jets.
Beat out
they beat
the
Bengals.
Ravens,
like they've got some soft wins.
They do.
But I don't know that I buy all the way. Like, who do you think is better, the 3-2 Raiders or the 4-1 Browns? I think it's actually fair if Nick Chubb were playing.
I think it's pretty close.
I think it's pretty close, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Ravens beat the living snot. But the Ravens aren't looking all that good at 4-1.
Not offensively.
Nope.
No, they've some teams have kind of figured out how to handle the run a little bit. And Lamar's got to learn to win with his arm a little more. So, but they're good defensively. I mean, they're still racking up wins.
Yeah.
Who's better right now? The Ravens or the Bills?
The Bills are more prolific offensively. They're scoring on everybody. So I would guess I'm taking the Bills right now.
Would you?
Yeah. Amazingly.
The Bills played the Ravens tough last year.
They did. It was a close game. They were driving and got
they
stopped.
Might be better than the Ravens right now. I didn't think I'd say that, but I mean, a Josh Allen-led team might be better than Lamar Jackson's Ravens.
That's, Josh? Allen is second behind Russell Wilson for MVP.
Yeah, I brought up on the Blitz that this is clearly Russell Wilson's MVP, and Fred was like, it was either Fred or AJ. It was AJ said, I don't know about that. Josh Allen. Well, Russell Wilson, it's his turn. Russell Wilson's going to win it. But Josh Allen, when you look at the numbers, it is pretty staggering how quickly that guy has become a prolific passer. I figured he would always be a feast or famine, you know, they'd run the ball. He'd have 210 yards or he'd have 320 yards. But he's been a consistent they have relied on him to consistently attack down the field. And that's why I think Brian Daboll is going to get an interview here with the Texans. I know everyone's going to talk about Eric Bieniemy, but the fact is Daboll's running that offense for Josh Allen, and he's doing a hell of a job. Yep. He's doing a hell of a job. He was a Nick Saban guy, too.
Speaking of interviews, JVG interviewing.
According to Mark Stein, tweeted that out maybe about 25, 30 minutes ago.
Ty Lue got his interview.
So you think that this has been dragged along a little bit so that the finals could be over so they could get Jeff Van Gundy an interview?
At least before they made the decision, I'm sure.
I don't think it's dragged along at all. Remember the last time they hired a coach, they waited. They were the seventh team to hire a coach.
Who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite? Tell me their salaries. Tell me how much they want in salaries.
You think it's going to be money?
I think it's going to be money.
I don't think Jeff Van Gundy's going to come cheaply. He makes money already on the NBA with less hassle.
With a lot less hassle. But he wants the competition. I could see him being like, yeah, this is all fine and good, but it ain't like winning. It ain't
He knows his value. I don't think he's going for less.
No. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, like, what will Ty Lue take to get another head coaching job?
Well, Ty Lue will say, I won a championship. You're not getting me on the cheap.
Yeah, kind of.
Salary figures are the highest five highest paid coaches. The salaries. Rick Carlisle is $8 million average. Eric Spoelstra, 8.5. Wow, Mike Krzyzewski, $9 million. He's in college.
He is Duke basketball.
$9 million?
Greatest coach in
history. They're not making money like the NBA. Time for the top two. Steve Kerr, 9.5, and the Pop. Popovich is making $11 million a year. Jeff Van Gundy, I do not believe, would come in for less than $8 million. Do you?
No. How much?
$8 million?
Oh, no. I think he'd take less. I think he'd
take less. Rick Carlisle's amount.
I think he'd take a little less than that. He's probably making, I don't know, I don't want to speculate on what he's making with ABC, but he's probably making pretty good money.
You don't have to. Apparently, it's listed.
Oh, it is?
Boom.
He's credited with making $1 million a year.
$1 million?
No, I would have thought that's way more than
how
that.
How many games does he do a year?
He does quite a few in a typical year.
Wow, I would have think I would have thought he'd be more like three or four.
I would have thought three.
Yeah,
is what I was thinking. Million to seven.
Yeah.
Oh, you think five? I don't think he's taking five. Five would probably put him in the lower bracket of the midpoint of the NBA.
Get back into coaching. It's $5 million.
If that's what it's about, then John Lucas would go, I'm here for $2 million. John Lucas would go, I'll go under. You tell me whatever price, and I'll beat that price, Tillman. John Lucas hadn't made head coaching money for a long time. Uh-huh. And Ty Lue's like, I'll take a dollar less than Jeff Van Gundy. Whatever you paid Jeff, I'll beat that by $10,000.
No. Well, that's not gonna win you.
Over under the next Rockets head coach, $7 million per year. All right, I'm going to change the number to $6
million. I think that's a good number. I think that'll be in that neighborhood.
It's not going to be Jeff Van Gundy. I think Van Gundy will want more.
I don't know. That's a big raise. That's six times what he's making now.
Does he want to coach?
If you want to coach.
Does he want to coach his team?
I don't know.
Okay.
Everybody wants to coach James. Especially a defensive coach.
James and Russ.
That rings true to you?
Yes.
James, Russ, and Eric Gordon locked in salary.
Yes.
See, this team has big room for growth.
Play tiny ball, spot up, shoot three ball. That's what you're built for.
Expect to win a title.
That ain't Jeff Van Gundy ball.
He's built perfectly for a Jeff Van Gundy defensive intensive team.
PJ Tucker is. Eric Gordon will defend. Everybody. Not your two guards.
You know what I want to do?
They don't play.
I want to take a job where I have giant expectations, but there's really no reason for me to have giant expectations put upon me considering the roster. Seems like a winning.
Doesn't seem like a winning formula.
947, there's a winning formula. It's just calling Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Jeff Aronoff is ready to come to your home or your business and make it better. When you look at outdoor, if you're looking to build an outdoor kitchen or patio or I don't know what he can build. I don't know, a veranda. He can build a porch. He can build whatever. He can build it all. If you're looking for a way to just better whatever home or business that you have with marble, granite, tile, or just, you know, construction. And listen, brick, the stone that they're using for outdoor kitchens now is fabulous. It's just fantastic. And you got to do it. You can't not upgrade your home or your business. Otherwise, it's just, if you think you're getting your money back out of it or you're going to make money out of it, on it, you're not. So you got to invest in it. And that's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. Give him a call. Let him come. He'll break it down exactly what you got to do. And he can help you pick everything out at 713-880-2822. Tell Jeff you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Total runs, hits, and errors tonight. It's 26 in the Astros game. The Astros had, what, 9 hits yesterday? 2 errors, that's 11. 2 runs, that's 13. 4 runs on 4 hits. That's just unbelievable. 4 runs on 4 hits. Gosh. So yeah. 4 runs on 4 hits and no errors. 2, 10, and 2. The Astros had 10 hits. That's 14, 22. I think today is going to be a higher scoring game. And the Astros are hitting the ball. They have not stopped hitting the ball. The only time they don't hit is with guys in scoring position. They're leaving so many guys on base. It's unbelievable. 21 left on base these last two games. 21.
That's unbelievable.
And they scored 3 runs. So, no, I think they break through tonight. I got the Astros over. I got the Astros. I got Urquidy. I got the over. And I would take over 26.5. Although I think Urquidy's going to shut them down. This one's going to be Astros blowout.
I kind of like runs in this one, too. I think the bats start finding some holes. I think Yarbrough is a guy who I think they'll hit a lefty. I like this matchup for the Astros. I like the matchup against the Rays anyway. The Astros are the better team in both games. They just couldn't come through with one key clutch hit. The Astros have outplayed them so far. Now, one thing that surprised me is the Rays have been exceptional defensively. Are they considered a great defensive team?
It's a good team.
Because they've been exceptional defensively. Yeah. We know the Astros are considered an elite defensive unit. Jose, Altuve's 2 throws notwithstanding. But it wouldn't surprise me if Urquidy got to work and Yarbrough kept the ball down and gave the Astros some trouble. Remember, it's a night game. The ball doesn't travel as well in the night out in California air. So that's maybe worth monitoring since most of the runs have come through home runs so far in this series.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the negative signs. 26.5 earlier in the series against Fromber, that over-under was for points for Fromber and, I mean, for runs, hits, and errors for Fromber and Blake Snell were 27.5.
Way under. Way under. And way under yesterday. Yep. Today's going to be the over.
26.5. The Braves and Dodgers, 24.5. Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, guess what? He gets lit up.
That's what I'm saying. Clayton Kershaw is like a 175 to win 100 favorite.
Well, and Walker Buehler is better than he is. Walker Buehler gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so much as the reliever gave up 3. But the Braves, the Dodgers are probably gripping right now.
I would be because that's a Braves team that's not, not afraid of anybody right now.
Nope. They got that guy at the top of the order, Acuna. He don't care. He does not care.
You know, he's a good player, but...
Well, he was Tatis before Tatis.
Better? Well, I mean, he's a good player, but is he only 21 years old like Gleyber Torres? Has anyone checked on how old Gleyber Torres is right now?
No.
Or Juan Soto?
It's the Soto thing.
Is he as young as Juan Soto or Gleyber Torres?
So you're not as good as if you're not as young?
You're not a story. No one cares about you.
Well, no, Ronald Acuna was
a story.
If it's not
Gleyber Torres, I'm
before
out.
Before Soto came along, Ronald Acuna was the story.
Gleyber Torres is the story always.
Ronald Acuna is 22 years old.
Oh, old.
What? How's he? Is he still in the league?
Well, he played yesterday, so I think so.
Huh. How's he still in the league at 22? What's all we have is like 12. It's like women's tennis. If you're 16, you're too old. Can't play anymore.
Joe Buck won't talk about you anymore. Gleyber Torres is 22 years old. This old man is nothing compared to the 19-year-old sensation. It's like whoever the next young sensation is.
Well, how
can
old
you
is
believe he's 19? He's 20 years old.
How old is Tatis? Oh, gotta see.
He is 21.
Oh, he's right in the sweet spot for Joe Buck.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres is 23, which means he must be.
Gleyber Torres is now 23?
Must be drinking Metamucil.
It was 3 years ago he was talking about him, how young he was.
I thought it was last year, too.
No,
that was Juan Soto last year.
Year before.
How old is Juan Soto?
Is he 22 now, 21? What is he now?
Wow.
Or is he about to turn 22? Juan Soto will be 22 in 12 days.
Yeah, that's when you're right past your prime. So only Tatis will be the only 21-year-old.
Tatis, 969 OPS, 937 OPS.
That's not that good. Call me when he gets to 1,000.
That's his Lance Berkman neighborhood. Okay, 956 OPS career, yeah. 2 years.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Not even the second, didn't even get to the second year of voting.
And that dude... had some numbers.
Oh, no, he's got better numbers than Martinez.
So, speaking
Edgar
of...
Speaking of...
Yeah, I know. Edgar just played longer.
Yeah.
Edgar Martinez was the original Michael Brantley.
Yeah.
A lot of hits. Yeah. A professional hitter. So, let me ask you this. My son was going through some argument about... He said he couldn't listen. Alex said, I can't listen to Colin Cowherd anymore. He had the most trash argument about Jordan and LeBron. And he said... And anyway, he was talking about the Bulls, and it's the snacks, and Alec started arguing, and Alec was talking about all of the, you know, who LeBron has played with. Jordan didn't play with anybody other than, you know, and I said, well, he played with some Hall of Famers too, Michael Jordan did. And with LeBron, he goes, so is LeBron. Look at the Hall of Famers he's played with. Dwayne Wade will be in the Hall of Fame, Chris Bosh, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know. Chris Bosh isn't going to be. He goes, well, he's made lots of all-star games. He goes, for sure. He goes, Kyrie Irving is a for sure Hall of Famer. Is Kyrie Irving on pace to be a for sure Hall of Famer?
No.
I want to make sure I'm not, because he said, if you look at how good he's been clearly the best point guard in the East. Is that accurate?
Trying to think of Eastern Conference point guards.
Is Kyrie going to be
Kemba Walker's been a better player the last couple years than Kyrie.
Yeah.
Well,
is Kemba Walker a Hall of Famer?
No, he's not. Kyrie has the title on his resume. But
I don't know. Man, Kyrie has played longer than I even realized. Kyrie does average 22.4 and 5 assists.
Dude.
Shoots 39% from 3. Pretty good.
I'm sorry. Kyrie's not even close to a Hall of Famer yet. So let me ask you this question. Have you seen this video? What the other Gilbert sent us? Have you seen? It's no helmets, no shoulder pads. It's tackle football.
Oh, I've heard about
this.
Dudes
are lighting each other up.
Concussions.
No. You don't hit with. Here's the thing about this is you don't hit with your head.
Well, you can still get a concussion from just.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't. Watch this. Boom.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they are. Russian.
Is that legal to crack block like that?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They are just wasting each other. I love this.
Good criminy.
Did you ever play tackle football with your buddies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you were older.
Well, not like that. Oh, no, not when we were older.
No? Yeah, no. I did.
Animals?
Yeah, the animals. We took on, we kicked ass, too.
You take on another gang?
Yeah.
By the way.
It's not another gang.
We mentioned his name yesterday.
Social club? Is that what you guys are?
Oh, yeah, we're a social club, yeah.
Social club?
We were just the animals, that's all.
You and I mentioned this guy's name, and he heard from a listener, Michael Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a message at 3:41 in the morning, which I don't know what time it is in China. He goes, yo, boy, heard y'all give me a mention. Just letting you know that LeBron is the greatest player ever to lace him up. Wilt is the single most dominating force in the history of the game, but LBJ is the greatest all-around talent ever. Forget about it.
Wait a minute. I thought he said LBJ was the greatest player.
He's the greatest all-around talent. The most dominant player is Wilt. He's trying to separate him.
So Michael ain't in it?
He is a Michael hater. Remember that?
That's right.
He was a Michael hater then, and he's a Michael hater now.
I can't even acknowledge this now.
He's in China. Probably some state-run organization got a hold of his Facebook.
I mean, maybe Snacks might be right about Kyrie being the best point guard.
You know who loves LeBron? China.
But Snacks is...
He stands true.
So Snacks would probably stop listening to Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd...
No, that was Alec.
Oh, Alec.
And Alec's the one who's saying Kyrie is a for sure...
Well, he's not, but he was probably the best point guard in the East the last couple of years, but there's not been a strong East in terms of point guards. But Colin Cowherd said, maybe this is what Alec is referring to, that Jordan needed Phil and Scottie.
That's exactly what it was.
Things. He said LeBron, all LeBron's needed is a ball. I was like...
He said Jordan needed a coach, a Pippen, all he's needed was a ball. I'm like, dude,
LeBron
his first title came with...
Dipped out on Cleveland and went to go play with maybe the third or fourth best shooting guard of all time to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Cowherd?
I just showing Lance. I just got a picture. I don't know if I got to verify it. No, I don't.
A picture of what?
It's this girl, and apparently she is Coach O's new girlfriend.
Oh, I got to take a look.
Yeah. No, she's smoking hot. Just smoking hot.
Everybody, we're going to shut practice early. No more practice today. We're going to expect your back at 12:30 in the morning. Okay.
If you think Coach O can't get some in the state of Louisiana.
I never said that.
No, I heard you say
that. No, I never even wanted to talk about it. I never wanted to be a topic.
You said
Coach O getting some.
Coach
I didn't
celibate.
Want to be.
You call him Coach Celibate because he can't get it.
I never called
him
Coach
celibate.
Yeah.
You think LSU sucks now because he's doing other things?
That's what I said. I said, no wonder we're losing. He can't concentrate.
What does Bo Pelini's girlfriend look like? Because I know he's not doing his job.
No, Bo Pelini can't have a girlfriend.
As far as I'm concerned.
His cat. He's got like 20 cats.
You know what Ogeron should have done? Just shut it down after the title.
That's all.
And just been good.
No, you got to collect. Yeah,
he's collecting his money, but other than
you can't
go out on a better note.
No.
A real Cajun winning a title for LSU undefeated with Joe Burrows. You can't do better than that.
No, that's it. All right, beat it, Lance. 713-780-3776, whoever wants to get in.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.